This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Biden tries again on Russia. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka. On this Friday, January 21st, glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Under criticism for previous remarks about how the U.S. would respond to any Russian move into Ukraine, President Biden is trying to clarify his position.
The Supreme Court says the six-week abortion ban in Texas can remain in effect indefinitely during litigation in state court.
Legendary rocker Meat Loaf, whose hit songs included Bat Out of Hell and Paradise by the Dashboard Light, has died at 74.
And how families waiting months for furniture are figuring out unique ways to cope in the meantime.
People are waiting weeks, months, over a year for their couches, bed frames, other essentials, and having to get creative in the meantime, which, you know, often involves the floor.
Rachel Wolf at the Wall Street Journal on lawn chairs and air mattresses as formal furniture these days. President Biden is trying to clarify his position about Russia's massive troop buildup on its border with Ukraine. He now says that any movement into Ukraine would be considered an invasion.
It will be met with severe and coordinated economic response that I've discussed in detail with our allies, as well as laid out very clearly for President Putin.
Mr. Biden's comments yesterday came after he sparked criticism both domestically and in Europe when he suggested a minor incursion by Russia would be met with less than the punishing economic measures his administration has promised for weeks.
Ukrainian foreign minister said this morning that he's confident of our support and resolve, and he has a right to be.
House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy says the U.S. deserves help.
It shouldn't just be America. NATO and everybody else should stand up and say this is wrong.
Also new, the administration permitted the Baltic nations of Estonia, Lithuania, and Latvia to send U.S.-made anti-tank weapons and air defense systems to Ukraine. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has been visiting Europe in a last-ditch effort to deter a Russian invasion of Ukraine. He meets with Russia's foreign minister today. Meanwhile, the only real deterrent for Russia to stay out of Ukraine is full NATO status for Ukraine. That's the opinion of Florida Republican Congressman Brian Mast, who says a united front is desperately needed. Congressman, how do you see it?
You know, you look at the president's comments. He said a great deal. More so with the amount that he fumbled over his words, splitting hairs between minor incursions or the extent to which Ukraine's sovereignty is broken by Russia, if in case that happens. You know, they're not looking at this and saying, what is the amount of weaponry needed for Ukraine to fend off Russia? Really, there isn't an amount. Ukraine is generations behind Russia in terms of their military arsenal. So there's not really an amount that we can provide. So they're really looking at trying to answer this in terms of how can we limp down the road and basically pretend like there's some kind of levels of escalation going on here when, in fact, not really providing a hard line to Russia about what would actually deter them. That's what's really going on here. There's no hard line to Russia presented by the Biden administration that's actually deterring them.
Were the president's comments Wednesday in some way a negotiation with Vladimir Putin?
I mean, if you want to call fumbling into a green light of U.S. policy to say, Russia, there's not really much that's going to be done about you moving into Ukraine. The EU and the United States right now, as we speak, you don't hear conversations about them saying, hey, let's look at full NATO status for the Ukraine. That would be a real deterrent. That's probably the only real deterrent out there. Vladimir Putin spoke about that a month and a half ago when he said he would look at that as a true sign of conflict being inevitable. I read that as saying that's the one thing that he doesn't really want is a united Europe and NATO against him. And that's the one thing that nobody's putting on the table.
Is he going to invade Ukraine?
You know, the what people see out there says, you know, certainly there's not a buildup for nothing on the Ukrainian border. We all know what Vladimir Putin wants is a renaissance of the former Soviet Socialist Republic and all those that used to be behind the Iron Curtain. So I could say that the nations that used to be behind there, part of the former Soviet bloc nations, they were afraid when Crimea was taken over.
Yeah.
And the worry that they have extends beyond them to the rest of Europe right now if Russia goes into the Ukraine.
We're speaking with Florida Congressman Brian Mast. He's a member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. We're talking about Ukraine. I know you're a military vet. If you were in charge right now, if President Biden said, listen, Mast, you take it over, figure out what to do in Ukraine, I mean, what would you do today?
Look at all the partners. Those partners that are meant to stand against Russia is NATO. Do we want to stand against Russia as NATO partners and make a new NATO partner out of the Ukraine and give them basically all of those privileges that come with that, which is the most important of all, an attack on one is an attack on all. That is the largest deterrent for Russia not invading the Ukraine, and that's what Europe and the United States need to answer. Do they want to make it an attack on one as an attack on all?
Would you be okay if we responded militarily? Do you want that? Not that you want that, but I mean, would that be appropriate, I guess?
Yeah, I think you corrected the question the right way. There's not one day that I want my brothers and sisters in arms, you know, in conflict against anybody. It's what we train to do. And when you look at what's going on with Russia expanding their reach, you know, making deals with Turkey and working with China and using natural gas or gas as a weapon against the whole of Europe, they are looking to move into power grabs that make them more and more and more of an adversary, which if they partner with China makes it an incredible adversary. And I think that is worth deterring and defending against. And the best way to do that is with a united front of NATO.
So I presume that Mr. Putin wouldn't stop with Ukraine if something were to happen.
Well, I think he's very patient on this. He sees renaissance of Soviet Socialist Republic as his crowning achievement. You know, moving away from what happened after the fall of USSR to him bringing back, you know, what once was.
Finish up, if you would, maybe just to clarify something you said earlier. A united NATO here, is that enough to stop Putin? Or does NATO have the will?
I do not see NATO right now, and many of the Western NATO countries, having the will to do that as we speak. As I said, you don't hear this being talked about. This is not primetime television and foreign policy experts all on TV saying, will Ukraine get full NATO status? You don't hear that because they're not talking about it. And in my opinion, that is the linchpin to actually deterring Putin from making that decision to invade the Ukraine.
Do you see the U.S., if Russia were to invade Ukraine, responding militarily? Would we do that?
I do not see the Biden administration responding militarily to this. I see them saying, hey, how can we provide $100 million or $5 billion or whatever number it is that they pick in terms of arms, which is a big deal because those are dollars of the U.S. taxpayer that are going to go to some foreign land. But they're not asking the question of, does whatever amount that they say in terms of dollars and arms that they'll send to the Ukraine actually put Ukraine in the fight against hundreds of thousands of Russians and their much more advanced military weaponry?
Thanks, Brian. That is Congressman Brian Mast from Florida. Meanwhile, the Biden administration is now promising massive consequences if Russia invades again. But the Wall Street Journal asks, why should Russian President Vladimir Putin believe it? The U.S. has ruled out any direct U.S. military defense of Ukraine, so Mr. Putin knows he needn't worry about that, the journal says. But as the U.S. has also failed to raise the costs of a Russian invasion by adequately arming Kiev. Thanks for spending time with us. More on the passing of Meatloaf in just a moment. The Supreme Court is allowing the 6-week abortion ban in Texas to remain in effect indefinitely. The justices have issued an order that blocks litigation against the law, while the state's highest court weighs a procedural question related to enforcement of it. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The three liberal justices dissented, arguing that the order undermined the court's decision last month allowing abortion providers to proceed in limited fashion with their lawsuit against the Texas law. The new measure, passed 8 months ago, does not allow doctors from knowingly performing an abortion if there is a detectable fetal heartbeat. It contains no exceptions for rape or incest. Private parties can earn $10,000 for filing civil lawsuits against those who provide abortions or assist women in obtaining them. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. The Texas law, known as SB 8, bans nearly all abortions after about the 6th week of pregnancy. 20 minutes now after the hour on this morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken faces more tough negotiations with his Moscow counterpart today as Western officials warn Russia could launch a military incursion into Ukraine within a month. Blinken will meet Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov in Geneva.
Even as we're relentless in pursuing this diplomatic path, we'll continue to make very clear that if Moscow chooses the path of further aggression, we will impose swift and massive costs.
According to Russia's top envoy to the EU, there's hope Blinken will bring with him a response to a series of Russian demands made to the West.
Number two.
Now don't be sad.
Meat Loaf, the larger-than-life singer and actor whose 1977 album Bat Out of Hell was one of the best-selling albums of all time, has died at the age of 74. His death was announced on his official Facebook page. A cause of death was not given, but he had numerous health scares over the years. Over six decades, Meat Loaf sold more than 100 million albums and appeared in movies such as Fight Club, The Rocky Horror Picture Show, and Wayne's World.
Number three.
The House committee investigating the January 6th Capitol riot has invited Ivanka Trump to provide information and participate in a voluntary interview. The former president's daughter was a senior White House advisor, and the committee says she has direct knowledge about what went on at the White House on January 6, 2021. A jury of 18 people has been picked for the federal trial of three Minneapolis police officers charged in George Floyd's killing, a case the judge told potential jurors has absolutely nothing to do with race. The officers are charged with depriving Floyd of his civil rights while acting under government authorities, as Derek Chauvin used his knee to pin Floyd to the street. One thing you certainly don't want to do as a driver is rack up a violation. According to a new study from Insurify, a single violation increases your auto insurance costs by an average of 35%. A simple speeding ticket will cost you an extra $422 annually on your next insurance quote. A DUI will cost you $723.
I would say at least 90% of the time I'm on cruise control. Just for that purpose.
Okay.
I do not want that headache. Thank you, Jen. Uncomfortable work attire is a thing of the past. If you're still trapped in suits and ties, make it your New Year's resolution to go casual at work. But don't dress down. Get some casual style that fits anywhere. That's what Cuts Clothing is designed for, to fit you and any occasion perfectly. That's how I feel about my t-shirts from Cuts. They look and feel great. Buttery soft. They move with me whenever I'm at the mic or at the gym. And while I could go on about their custom-engineered Pika Tri-Blend fabric, you really have to wear it to understand how soft it is. It's the ultimate blend of high-quality cotton, polyester, and spandex. The result is what GQ magazine calls the only shirt worth wearing. And now it's worth even more because it's an even better value. Cuts Clothing is work leisure apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's C-U-T-S. cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. cutsclothing.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us. Shortages and high demand have led to months-long delays for new beds, dining room sets, sofas, and other furnishings. Those lucky enough to have mattresses on bed frames find they can double as a place to eat dinner or sip wine. It's a story by Rachel Wolf, consumer trends reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Rachel, what have you found?
People are waiting weeks, months, over a year for their couches, bed frames, other essentials, and having to get creative in the meantime, which, often involves the floor.
Yeah. Explain that. How do some people cope without, a table or a couch?
Totally. So one person who moved from San Francisco to Austin was living in a completely empty house for 6 months. He was so excited to show his house off to his friends and family, his first home. And then it was empty for half a year. So he ended up getting 3 giant beanbag chairs from Costco that were in stock and doing everything from the beanbag chairs. And then they were so comfortable that he ended up selling 2 when he finally got a couch and other furniture and keeping 1. He was like, my dog loved it.
So the $64,000 question here, will it get better anytime soon? I know it's going to get better, but what about soon? And how soon is soon?
Yeah, I mean, some of the furniture companies we spoke to said that they're starting to see things gradually untangle supply chain-wise, but it's just such a confluence of factors that have all kind of come together to create the perfect storm with labor shortages and supply chain hang-ups. So it's a lot of different things going on, but it is slowly getting better.
So I was going to ask you what those things are. I would think of furniture makers. I don't know. Are they bringing stuff in from overseas? Is it delays from, I don't know, parts here in the U.S. because there aren't enough truck drivers? Is it all those things?
It's all those things. One person we spoke to, even he ended up getting a floor model. So you would think it's right there. It's the sample. And even that took 2 months to come because he said there just weren't enough delivery drivers. They were so backed up. So it's a little bit of everything. Even when you can physically see the couch in front of your eyes, getting it to your house is another matter entirely.
Wow. We're speaking with Rachel Wolf, consumer trends reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her story is called Your New Couch Should Arrive This Year. Meantime, it's lawn chairs or the floor. It's funny, there's no favorites either, right? Even the CEO of the Home Furnishing Association couldn't get something he wanted in a timely manner.
It's so funny. There really is no cutting corners. There's no inside scoop on, I've talked to a ton of other reporters at the Journal, and it's just something that everybody in every part of society has been dealing with. You know, I think workarounds have been going to thrift stores, getting furniture from Facebook Marketplace. But even some of the people that we spoke to said that when they put up a Facebook Marketplace listing for furniture, they would get like dozens of messages, people just desperate for a couch. So they were getting bombarded. So if you have any furniture to sell, it's a good time for that.
Rachel Wolf at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
The news. First, fast, and free of noise. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning, with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday, January 21. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. President Biden now vows a strong response if Russia moves into Ukraine. Supreme Court allows the Texas abortion ban to continue during litigation. Rock legend Meatloaf has died at the age of 74. Hospitals in Omicron hotspots like New York and D.C. say cases are falling. Intel plans to invest $20 billion in a chip-making plant in Ohio. No criminal charges for an MIT engineering professor accused of hiding his ties to China. And the West Virginia reporter who got hit by a car on live TV and kept reporting. That story in about 20 minutes. Members of Congress are turning to the same political consultants who got them elected to blast out taxpayer-funded communications from their government offices. Lachlan Marquet has been combing through some records. Lachlan, what did you uncover?
So members of Congress, through their official offices, are generally spending a good deal of money every year on constituent communications, essentially. A lot of it is what's called franked mail. Part of it is just letting them know when they're having town hall meetings or these services are available to constituents. But there's also an element of self-promotion in it. So you see a lot of members of Congress sending out direct mail pieces, running ads on Facebook and Instagram, basically saying, here are all the great things I'm doing for you, and you know, sign up for my newsletter to hear more. So we looked at the data, and you know, the House makes this information on expenditures available, and we found a lot of examples of members of Congress basically hiring political consultants to do that sort of work for them. And in many cases, we found more than 250 of them over 5 years. They're relying on the same political consultants that are working for their campaigns. So it's not explicitly political, and by law it can't be, but it's complementary to their political operation. And obviously that sort of self-promotion in your constituents' eyes is going to help you politically. That sort of seems to be the idea.
Got it. It smells funny, but it's not illegal. Is that a summary?
Yeah,
here?
So as long as you don't say, you know, vote for me or vote against my opponent, it's not considered to be political in the legal sense of the word. And in fact, there's a commission in the House that has to proactively and explicitly sign off on every one of these pieces of franked communications. So there's pretty, you know, there's very good oversight of this, and there's no reason to think anyone's violating the law with it. But the numbers that we found are pretty dramatic. And, you know, it was something like it was approaching $40 million over 5 years of taxpayer money that was paid to these firms that are also working for the campaigns of the members' offices that are paying them. So the overlap is significant.
You said some consulting firms have even triple dipped. How so?
Yeah, so you know, so you have the campaigns, obviously, for the members of Congress, but then in many cases, especially in, you know, tightly contested races, you have super PACs and 501c4 nonprofits and other independent political spenders that sort of jump in and in some cases spend significant sums. So we found a number of cases where these vendors that are working for the members of Congress, they're working for their campaigns, and in some cases they're also working with these, you know, ostensibly independent groups that are working to get them elected.
Wow.
So it's sort of three sources of funds, all designed to be legally independent of each other, but all geared towards promoting the political interests, or at least the public image of the same public officials.
We're speaking with Lachlan Marquet, political reporter at Axios. His story is called Political Consultants Pocket Taxpayer Cash. You said, too, some have used it to plug more explicitly partisan efforts. Explain that.
Yeah, so the one example we cited in the story was a recent mailer from Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia. She sent out a direct mail piece, and I believe there were accompanying digital ads as well, calling for President Biden's impeachment. So again, not explicitly political in the strict legal sense. She's not saying, you know, vote for me because I'm leading the effort to impeach President Biden. But, you know, the franked communications were generally thought of as a way of getting, you know, important information to your constituents. And that's seen as a legitimate use of taxpayer funds.
Wow.
So she
didn't say vote for me in the mailing, but it was okay to basically say don't vote for the other guy?
Well, she wasn't even really saying don't vote for Joe Biden. She was saying, you know, Joe Biden is terrible, and that's why I'm leading the effort to impeach him. So, okay. You know, again, it's within the technical bounds of franked communications, but it shows how you can get really close to that line and send out this stuff that, you know, a layperson would probably see as pretty inherently political.
Yeah.
Without sort of overstepping, and, you know, while still using taxpayer funds to do it.
And both sides do it to the tune of millions of dollars?
Yeah, no, it's a thoroughly bipartisan phenomenon. It's been going on for years. And as a matter of fact, you know, we had to sort of limit our numbers because it was only in 2016 that the House of Representatives started making this data available in, you know, an easily sortable electronic format. So the numbers are certainly much larger than what we were able to capture. And, you know, this doesn't even include the Senate side, which still does not make that stuff available in a digital format. So
Wow. This
is really only scratching the surface.
Thanks, Lachlan. Lachlan Marquet, political reporter at Axios. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday. It's time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, it's deep freeze season for most of the country, or much of the country, and that can bring with it all kinds of problems you don't see in warmer climates. As an example, transportation officials were called into a Minnesota highway yesterday to clean up a bushel of frozen potatoes from the road. The state's DOT said a truck crashed yesterday morning on Interstate 94 in Albertville and spilled potatoes all over the road. Now, as cleanups go, probably not the worst thing the workers have seen, but the problem was the potatoes were freezing to the road in the near 0 degree temperatures, which required them to bring in special equipment to have the spuds dislodged from the asphalt. Thankfully, no injuries were reported and the road was cleared within a couple of hours.
See, this is interesting with potatoes because to me, they hit the icy road, they're still like preserved.
Right.
Well, they have a skin on them.
I think I know where you're going with this.
Right? So once you pair them.
Yeah. What happens to these potatoes afterwards? Yeah. Is there a deep fryer nearby that we can do something with these potatoes?
Thank you.
We'll warm those up real quick, right? Quick trip through the slicer, and we got fries.
It is one of those rare like food or drink spills that seems like it's recoverable, right?
Right.
You listen, the beer truck tips over, all the bottles break, or the wine bottles break. But not here. This sounds like potatoes were preservable.
Yeah, good washing. That's really all they need.
That's what I mean. A little rinse and pair. You're good to go.
I kind of agree with you on that one. And it's shaping up to be an epic NFL matchup this weekend, the powerhouse Kansas City Chiefs versus the suddenly surging Buffalo Bills, in a game some say pits the two best teams in the league against one another 3 weeks before the Super Bowl. So who will win? Well, it's a toss-up for many people, but those searching for a tie-breaking vote may want to look to the sea. In a now viral video, a Twitter user posted a clip of a dolphin picking the Bills to win over the Chiefs. In the clip, a man is seen sitting in a kayak in the water in Mexico holding up two signs, a Chiefs logo in his right hand and a Bills logo in his left. A dolphin then swims in from off camera straight to the Bills logo and touches it with its nose. The man's daughter posted the clip, and it should be known that she goes by the handle Buff Girl and included the hashtags Bills Mafia and Go Bills, so there's plenty of potential bias there. For example, there may have been a fish hiding behind the Bills logo that was hidden from view.
I guess that's possible.
We won't know that for sure.
That's funny.
It's a very short clip.
By the way, an American dolphin, say one based in Miami, probably wouldn't pick the Bills.
Well, that's really the upset here, right? Is that the Dolphin picked the Bills in the same division, the NFC East.
Be strange.
So, but perhaps, a Mexican Dolphin not aware of the rivalry,
right?
Went straight for the Bills. Yeah. I hear you on that one.
By the way, we need to clarify something because somebody on Twitter called me out yesterday for not calling yesterday Friday Eve at like 9 minutes past the hour at the start of the show.
Right.
I don't call it Friday Eve that early because I like there to be a mystery.
Right.
Like, am I going to say it or not? And usually I save it for when you come in here and do the mic drop.
I see.
Because I like to annoy you in person.
Of course.
That's really the gist of that.
Right. That's what our relationship has been about for the past decade and a half, is you basically, focusing all your ire on me whenever possible.
Exactly. Thank you, Mike. Podcasts have changed the way you get your news, entertainment, politics, everything. They've rewritten the script, literally. Well, there's another exciting development that's rewritten the script, too. Masterworks. Masterworks enables you to diversify your portfolio and potentially protect it from market volatility by investing in contemporary art with Masterworks. They're the fintech startup shaking up the alternative investing landscape, letting you build a portfolio of fine art without spending millions. Basquiat, Picasso, Warhol. Invest in paintings by iconic artists like these with Masterworks. Their industry-leading research team has created the first and only platform where anyone can buy and trade shares of paintings, giving you the same access enjoyed by some millionaires and billionaires for generations. And now our listeners get priority access to their latest offerings at masterworks.art/Gordon. Join a new generation of investors at masterworks.art/Gordon. See important disclaimers at masterworks.io/disclaimer. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or you can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well at Gordon Deal. To avoid sticker shock at the grocery store, consider changes to your shopping habits. The Wall Street Journal has a couple of ways. Number one, planning your grocery trips, including checking sales and coupons, can make the difference between staying within your budget or blowing it up. Plot your meals for the week so you're more likely to actually use the items you buy and stuff won't go to waste. Number two, substitute. Since meats are more expensive right now, you might use half the amount of ground beef when, say, making a chili, then use lentils to compensate for the rest. Number three, mix in shelf-stable items that can be used in lots of dishes and aren't as subject to inflation as produce. This includes dried rice and canned goods like beans and tomatoes.
8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Schools are canceling classes in Virginia and the Carolinas, and authorities are urging drivers to stay off potentially icy roads amid forecasts of snow, sleet, and freezing rain. The governors of North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia have declared states of emergency. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper.
As always, never use generators or gas grills inside your home or garage. The carbon monoxide fumes can be deadly.
Cooper says ice accumulations could cause extended power outages.
Number two.
The Supreme Court has denied a request from Texas abortion providers to immediately send their case challenging the state's strict abortion law back to a lower court. Doing so likely would have allowed the abortion providers and advocates to proceed more quickly with their case against the law, which bans most abortions in Texas after as early as 6 weeks of pregnancy. Instead, the ruling is likely to prolong the legal battle.
Number three.
Hospitals in early Omicron hotspots like New York and Washington, D.C. say the pressure is starting to ease. Maryland Governor Larry Hogan.
Our COVID-19 positivity rate peaked 15 days ago at 29.98%. It has been rapidly dropping and is now 18%, which is a decline of 40%.
But health officials warn Omicron has yet to peak nationally, and many hospitals around the country remain under significant strain. The best battle against peanut allergies? Eating peanuts. Researchers at the University of Arkansas say young children might be able to overcome their peanut allergies if treated at an early enough age. They gave increasing amounts of peanut protein powder to a group of toddlers to build up their tolerance for peanuts. After 2.5 years, close to 3/4 could tolerate the equivalent of 16 peanuts without an allergic reaction. Meatloaf, the singer and actor who's bad out of hell, is one of the best-selling albums ever, and who played Eddie in the Rocky Horror Picture Show, has died at the age of 74. A cause of death was not released. The Grammy winner sold more than 100 million albums worldwide.
Hard to count the number of times, probably, that we've sang along to Paradise by the Dashboard Light, right?
Yep.
Doing Phil Rizzuto impersonations and all that. Thanks, Jen. Thanks for being with us. How about this for dedication to the job? A reporter was struck by a car during a live TV broadcast in West Virginia Wednesday before she stood up, brushed it off, readjusted her camera since she was by herself, and managed to finish her report. 25-year-old Tori Yorgi of WSAZ-TV in West Virginia was outside getting ready to report on a water main break outside Charleston when an SUV appeared in the shot and banged into her, sending her crashing into the camera.
I'm okay. Yeah, you know, that's live TV for you. It's all good. I actually got hit by a car in college, too, just like that.
She's got experience with this. The woman who was apparently driving the SUV could be heard apologizing, and Ms. Yorgi assured her she was fine. After adjusting the camera, she eventually continued her report. She went to the hospital for a checkup and is doing fine, just a little soreness. The incident happened, by the way, during her final week with the station. She's leaving for a reporting job in Pittsburgh to be closer to family. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.